So how can you and I, you know, as relatively young people, go and make a difference? And I'm not talking on a global or even country level, but even on an individual level. Right. So how can I change one person's life?
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. I am in London, England, just got here. So excited because right walking in the door, I was able to meet Francesca. Francesca is so passionate about women in tech and she works with Salesforce. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
I know it is evening already. Rushing around all day from plane to train. So tell me a little bit about, like, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about what you do.
So my name is Francesca and I live in London. How did I enter tech? So my background really is in international development. I work for the UN. I've done a bit of politics. And really, I thought, okay, when I was a little girl, I wanted to change the world. And so I thought, okay, I'll work for the United Nations. And then what I realized was that technology, I think, in this day and age, is something that you can really utilize and actually have a personal touch and influence on finding solutions to problems that doesn't involve politics, but actually you have that control. And so that was my idea, essentially. And a couple of years ago, I really never thought, okay, how can I get into tech? I never envisioned myself in technology. I had this very stereotypical idea of who works in technology. I'm sad to say it now, but I did. I think a lot of young girls do. But I met this amazing woman, Melissa DiDonato. She used to work at a company called Salesforce, where I work now. And she absolutely guided me and introduced me to an incredible understanding of what really technology is and what it can do. And that it really doesn't matter who you are, but it matters, of course, your passion and understanding. And so I did a bit of work experience. You know, I got an internship and then I worked my way up and now I work at Salesforce.
I mean, I love that. Well, what is your role at Salesforce?
So I currently work in business development, but I work with partners. So it's kind of a mix between consulting, pre-sales. What I do is work with startups, you know, new companies to understand what they're trying to build, so that they will build some kind of product and help them to kind of manage that project and build on our platform. So we have a cloud platform. So it really requires some, well, people skills firstly, which I think it comes down to any industry, you know, whatever you do, it really is people skills. And then, you know, a bit of course, understanding of the cloud, how to develop an app, and then, of course, business development as well.
What I love about your story is that you mentioned, and I want to make sure to really touch on this, is that you started as an intern and then you evolved from there. And I think sometimes people feel like I can never be that because it seems too lofty, too big of a dream. But you started as an intern and anyone can be an intern. Mm-hmm. So how did you go about finding your internship?
Being proactive. So I think that I got to where I am today because I just emailed, I called, I got to in front of someone face to face. So, you you know, this woman that became my mentor, I thought she was an incredible speaker. I thought she was an incredible public speaker, something that I hope to be one day myself. Very inspiring. And we did mention this before this interview, but you can't see what you can't be, right?
Right.
So, I do believe that. I think, as I said, my original understanding and an idea of who works in technology definitely changed once I met her. And if I can become that person, you know, that would make me fulfilled. So that's what I kind of envisioned in the beginning. So how do I get there? I, you know, got in front of the right people. I emailed them, as I said, and I just persevered. And I said, you know, if you can give me any advice, any guidance, you know, coffee, a 10-minute call, anything, because I think once you can get bits of advice here and there, then, you know, you're on the right path.
And one thing that I completely forgot to touch on, which is probably really important, and I just assume that the whole world knows, is what is Salesforce and how big is Salesforce? Because Salesforce is such a tremendous company. Yeah. I just didn't even think to ask right away because I figured, yeah, everybody knows Salesforce, but I shouldn't make that assumption. Absolutely. So what is Salesforce and how big is it?
Very good point, because I certainly didn't know what Salesforce was. And I don't, unless you're in a very business environment where you'd use a tool like CRM, which is customer relations management, then you wouldn't know, because it's very B2B, which is business to business, right? So what Salesforce is, they call it a customer success platform. So traditionally, you and I might know it as CRM, which is essentially a business tool. If you imagine, you know, you have your business and you work with your sales employees and they need some kind of tool to manage the whole sales process. So from the beginning, you know, you might meet someone and might think that they could buy your product or you want to sell them the product. And then it's kind of managing the relationship from the beginning right until the very end and then onwards as, you know, their customer success. So that's the kind of basis of it, but it's not just that, right? So we're growing, growing, growing. And when I started nearly 2 years ago, it was 15,000 employees. We're now at 25,000 employees.
Insane.
It's growing at over 30% year on year. So to be part of such a transformation is amazing. And also for me, the most important part is that it's a very conscientious company. So the CEO, Marc Benioff, when he founded it back in 2000, I think, he said, okay, we can be successful, but we can also give back at the same time. So a third of the company is nonprofit. So actually I did, as an intern, I worked in their foundation. And I'm still very much involved in that. And that really means a lot to me and it makes, you know, my life much more fulfilled.
So it's outstanding. And when was Salesforce founded?
2000, so in the .com.
In the dot-com era.
Yeah.
I want to get back into this internship because I think all of you listening will probably say, hey, oh, wait, I could turn an internship into a career. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of surprising because I think people may see internships as temporary or maybe not take them seriously. Mm-hmm. So how do you pivot an internship? First of all, how do you be the best intern you can be? And then how do you pivot an internship into a lifelong career that you feel passionate about in the technology space?
Okay, so I feel like I've been an intern, you know, before this job for 8 years. So constantly between school, university, I just pitched myself and I said, can I get some work experience? You know, can I be an intern, this and that? And, you know, generally they might have a project and they actually could do with someone for a couple of weeks to a couple of months, depends what it is. And honestly, for a long time I felt, am I ever going to get beyond being an intern?
And how long were you an intern for?
So in Salesforce, I was an intern for 4 months.
Okay.
But it was kind of the point where I'd finally got to, you know, this big company and I was so like amazed that I was there. And I thought, okay, but when am I going to become an actual employee? So it's about building your brand within the company. So as soon as I got there, I met as many people as I could. I met with them for coffees. I understood part of the business because, of course, with my background, and I don't think as you enter a large company, you don't know all of the different divisions, right? They're constantly changing, evolving, especially in tech.
Mm-hmm.
Such an exciting time. There's so much development happening internally, as well as all of the different products and the different artificial intelligence and all these things that are happening. It's really about kind of understanding what roles there are and then finding the gap. So what they need for that role and what you're missing. So that's kind of where I started. You know, I found this role that I really wanted to do. I thought to myself, as an intern, what can I do to ensure that I've ticked all of those boxes and more? So when you say, you know, how can you be the best intern? It's being creative with it, not just being told what to do.
Right, right.
But to, you know, always go above and beyond.
And why is Salesforce, this Goliath of a company, a company that you are so passionate about on a very intimate level?
Mm.
Like, it's huge, yet when I talk to you, I feel this small intimacy. Yeah. Why is that?
I think the company will be very happy you said that because, I started in London. The central hub is San Francisco. And I also started as an intern, and I also started in part of the business that isn't core to the company. Yet the culture of Salesforce is really one of their top priorities, right? So they are growing at an unbelievable rate. And I think that as they do that, the importance of keeping the culture, so they call it Ohana. So Mark Benioff uses Hawaiian words. I think he lived there for a bit. And Ohana means one family. And so that is wherever you go, you know, whatever you do in your day-to-day life at the company, you always kind of see that around. There's lots of initiatives going on much lower levels. So you've got kind of hierarchical structures, but then you don't feel like, you know, you might be a bottom of the ranks, but you're also collaborating with different levels. So you're constantly, getting involved or involving yourself because it's a very, you know, self-promoting kind of business. If you want to succeed, it's up to you, right? You have the support, but at the end of the day, you run your own business, I guess.
Right, right.
So I do, that's something that's really struck a chord with me because I came up, I came from the startup background and I really enjoy the startup side of things. You know, you're very punchy and you're going for gold all the time. And I worried with a corporate company, would I just be left in a kind of structured, not really moving anywhere or very vertical kind of linear routes. But I do feel there's, you know, lots of ways to grow, which is very important.
100% important.
Yeah.
We want to feel, it caters to happiness to feel that we have purpose in everything that we do. And one thing that brought us together tonight is Theodora. So I'd like to give a shout out to her. As you guys may be able to hear, there may be like a slight reverb echo because we're standing in like a hallway so we can get the most quiet place because we are at Theodora's event tonight. Theodora is one of the most extraordinary women in business I have ever met. I met her 3 years ago. Can you tell me a little bit about the event tonight?
Yes. So Theodora Clark, I've known for quite a few years now. She's had an incredible journey in her career. And it's come to this point tonight where she is essentially organizing, chairing an amazing event around international development, focusing on the refugee crisis. So she's managed to pull the Jordanian ambassador, David Miliband, who is the head of the IRC based out of New York, which is an NGO, and the a lady from Google and a lady from IKEA Foundation. And on that panel, the whole kind of premise of it was there is a Jordanian compact on how to handle the refugee crisis and what is the international response and reaction. And it was the most informative talk I have ever been to. And I'm not kidding, because you had such experts on that panel that really also cared, and they were so invested in it personally. And I think you know, I go to quite a lot of talks, and to see that, because those individuals were so invested, was very powerful. And it's something that I'm now inspired to get more involved in.
What was your biggest takeaway?
The biggest takeaway is, I think in the world, there are many, many problems. And a lot of the time, they might become almost buzzwords to you, because we do live in a globalized world where suddenly we feel a lot more are an issue to us individually. So the idea of refugees almost becomes a sort of blurry idea that we don't necessarily understand. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing that they gave to us to take away was just imagine, put yourself in a refugee's shoes. They do not want to leave their home by any means. They're being forced to leave. They're being forced to go on this journey that is so treacherous and dangerous. They're being forced to try and find a home. And I think to kind of have empathy mm-hmm. and understand what they're going through, then it clicks.
Right.
And I think that has the personal touch, because, you know, what can you do as an individual? You know, it's raising the awareness, for example, of this issue, that it's not about, but it's okay. So for example, with immigration issues, you know, a lot of the West are pushing out the idea of refugees, but actually if we can understand these are individuals and not necessarily have a kind of selfish outlook, and to kind of try and meet halfway, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that you were sharing earlier is something that you feel so passionate about technology, is that technology is a way to solve these problems and bring people together. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I haven't figured it out completely yet, but I do, I think once I found my issue and niche, and understand it very, very well, then, you know, we can work towards, okay, how do you create a solution? So I have a ton of ideas, and I've already executed on a few prior to this role when I was in Colombia. But I think that technology is a really positive thing in all senses. And also, it's positive not only by the product that it, you know, creates or solution that it solves, but also in order to get to that point, in order to get to that product or solving that problem, you also need to bring in a lot of people. So mm-hmm. by, you know, kind of democratizing that process, you know, understanding, okay, let's ask what the problem is.
Right.
Let's involve them. If everyone, you know, it's not like a top down, it's very much bottom up.
Right.
So I think it's something that is very positive.
And I can't possibly let you go without bringing up, so you're English, mm-hmm. right? And you spent time in Colombia. Let's talk a little bit about that before we wrap up the conversation, because people are probably like, what? Huh? How? Like, what's going on?
Okay, so this is what probably kickstarted my like passion and realization that I could actually do something and execute it. So when I was studying at university, I studied international relations and international public policy. My focus was on post-conflict society and how civilians, how normal people just like you and me can actually create change, because often the government, the general population might not trust them. There might be corruption involved. You know, there's a ton of different factors. So how can you and I, you know, as relatively young people, go and make a difference? And I'm not talking on a global or even country level, but even on an individual level.
Right.
So how can I change one person's life? So I worked with a friend of mine who is Colombian, Pablo Restrepo, amazing, amazing guy. And he also had these similar ideas. And he had the, obviously he's from Colombia and he knows exactly the kind of problems that are going on there. So we focused on women who had kind of been ostracized from the Civil War. And they were potentially left on their own with children. due to the violence and finding it very hard to find long-term work. So we're talking about long-term, sustainable jobs, not just a quick fix, not just charity-based 2-week internships, for example. So our whole idea was, okay, how do we create almost a movement to encourage young people to create businesses, create jobs that allow for people with not necessarily a lot of education to have long-term contracts so they themselves can survive on their own.
Right.
So that was the premise of what we did. And I went out there and we executed it and it's still happening. So
that's so cool.
Very happy.
And you guys, everything that we've discussed in the conversation today, be sure to check out the show notes because we work really hard to include everything in there because I mean, you know, you're probably running or washing the dishes or doing something where it's hard to write something down right now. So we'll include that for you to make it really easy. Thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast. This has been incredible. I can't believe we're standing in a random stairwell. Thanks to Theodora. you guys, in order to connect with more awesome people in the tech industry, be sure to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group. You just get there by going to womenintechvip.com. It takes you straight there. It makes it really easy. I can't even think about it. How can people connect with you directly online?
Okay, so I have, I guess, Twitter.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so it's Bowen Francesca.
Can you spell it for us?
Bowen Francesca, awesome. Which is my first name and surname backwards. and then I'm also on LinkedIn, so feel free to reach out to me.
Perfect. And so be sure to do that. Definitely tweet her, and I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Know that you could always tweet at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit Devora. Enjoy the day. Bye.
The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.